This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
TikTok, is it a threat to national security or not? That is the question. The question we have to ask ourselves in a big, big way. The question is, are you going to use it? Should it be banned? Will it be banned? And what does a ban mean? 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. There's a lot of Republicans calling for a ban on TikTok. There's a lot of Democrats defending TikTok and defending the app and defending China, even going so far as to suggest that calling out China on all this is, in fact, racist. Well, the TikTok CEO is under fire right now. Before I get into any of the overall testimony from the day-to-day by this guy, I want to play you a clip from John Kirby, the Pentagon spokesman, John Kirby, who was asked about TikTok and why it is that Joe Biden keeps using TikTok if it's such a national security threat. Take a listen.
Last question. I wanted to follow up on TikTok. Obviously, you've expressed again today the national security concerns with the app. Why then did the president agree to appear in TikTok videos as recently as, I think, St. Patrick's Day?
Again, we have not changed our national security concerns about the app. It's not for use on government devices, and I don't have anything more for
but
you
on
that.
Does it send the wrong message if the administration is weighing a ban or could in the future have to weigh it?
We have been very consistent about our concerns over TikTok. There's a CFIUS review underway. I know you want me to tell you more about this, but I'm just not going to get ahead of that.
All right, so it's really bad for national security, and we don't want government officials using it, but not so bad that the president of the United States of America will use it. I mean, think how ridiculous that is. Hey, listen, if you're a lowly bureaucratic hack in some godforsaken agency, you better not use it. It's real problematic. It's real dangerous to national security. But if you're the commander-in-chief, knock yourself out. What? Huh? That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. This is the reason why I think a lot of people are taking some of this with a grain of salt because of what the administration's saying back and forth. But I can tell you that the CEO of TikTok was all over the place today with what he was saying. All over the place. First of all, let's begin here with the TikTok CEO, Hsiao Chu, his opening statement of the House Commerce Committee hearing, cut number one.
Let me start by addressing a few misconceptions about ByteDance, of which we are a subsidiary. ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government. It's a private company. 60% of the company is owned by global institutional investors. 20% is owned by the founder, and 20% owned by employees around the world. ByteDance has five board members. Three of them are American. Now, TikTok itself is not available in mainland China. We're headquartered in Los Angeles and in Singapore, and we have 7,000 employees in the U.S. today. Still, we have heard important concerns about the potential for unwanted foreign access to U.S. data and potential manipulation of the TikTok U.S. ecosystem. Our approach has never been to dismiss or trivialize any of these concerns. We have addressed them with real action. Now, that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years, building what amounts to a firewall that seals off protected U.S. user data from unauthorized foreign access.
McMorris Rogers, who's the chairwoman of the committee, though, She feels very, very differently about what the CEO is saying about TikTok. And she grilled him over claims that the app is spying on Americans and promoting pro-Chinese Communist Party messages. Now, this is a little bit of a longer clip, but it's okay. It's worth hearing. I was actually driving in the car this morning when I heard it. I remember it was 10:24 a.m. and I texted DeSantis and I said, hey, let's grab this cut at because I just the time I was listening to it on the radio. I didn't have the TV in front of me. But anyway, this is the exchange, cut three.
And can you say with 100% certainty that ByteDance or the CCP cannot use your company or its divisions to heed content to promote pro-CCP messages for an act of aggression against Taiwan?
We do not promote or remove content at the request of the question, Chinese government. The question and is, we will replain.
The question is, are you 100% certain that they cannot use your company to promote such messages?
It is our commitment to this committee and all our users that we will keep this free from any manipulation by any government.
If you can't say 100% certain, I take that as a no. As I previously referenced, TikTok spied on American journalists. Can you say with 100% certainty that neither ByteDance nor TikTok employees can target other Americans with similar surveillance techniques?
Chair Rogers, I first of all disagree with the characterization that is spying. It was an internal investigation.
Yes or no? Can you do surveillance of other Americans?
We will protect the U.S. user data and fire it all from all unwanted foreign access. It's a commitment that we've given to the committee.
So I guess my question is, I wanted to hear you say with 100% certainty that neither ByteDance nor TikTok employees can target other Americans with similar surveillance techniques as you did with the journalist.
Again, I don't disagree with the characterization in surveillance, and we have given our commitments, Chair Rogers, the four commitments. I think it's our commitment that we will not be influenced by any government on these issues.
DOJ is investigating this surveillance right now. To the American people watching today, hear this, TikTok is a weapon by the Chinese Communist Party to spy on you, manipulate what you see, and exploit for future generations. A ban is only a short-term way to address TikTok, and a data privacy bill is the only way to stop TikTok from ever happening again in the United States.
Again, that's the chairwoman of the committee, McMorris-Rodgers of Washington, Kathy McMorris-Rodgers of Washington. This is what she said as she slammed TikTok a little bit further and even invoking the Soviet Union in this cut two.
From the data it collects to the content it controls, TikTok is a grave threat of foreign influence in American life. It's been said it's like allowing the Soviet Union the power to produce Saturday morning cartoons during the Cold War, but much more powerful and much more dangerous.
The question is TikTok too popular to actually ban? Over at Reason.com, which is a libertarian site, obviously, Elizabeth Nolan Brown, who's the editor over there, says, yes, that's the problem. The problem is right now the app is way too popular to ban. The other problem is they haven't actually yet explained how it's a national security threat. And I think the problem is when you've got the idiot president of the United States using TikTok, you have to really question how much of a national security threat it is because he's using it. But there was a clip that happened just a few moments before we got on the air today where the CEO of TikTok did turn around and say that, yeah, you know what? The Chinese Communist Party can manipulate some things. No question about it. Take a listen to that.
Do you disagree with FBI Director Wray and NSA Director Nakasone when they said that the CCP could have the capability to manipulate data and send it to the United States? Do you disagree with their statement?
The statement says could.
So do you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree with that.
Okay, so it is possible that the CCP, under the auspices of ByteDance, which is your parent company, which you get paid from, has the ability to manipulate content that is being shared with 130 million Americans.
Yeah, so he's saying it certainly could, and that's really the question. Is TikTok stealing our data and then turning it over to the Chinese Communist Party, which is clearly not our friend? That's the question. That's the issue. That's the whole issue right there in a nutshell. And look, you know, from a private market perspective, the question you have to ask yourself is, are you okay with that? As a consumer, are you okay with that? I am not. I don't use TikTok for that reason. I don't want my data in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. I don't. But if you're not concerned with that and you're not a national security threat yourself, I mean, if you have nothing that could help hurt the United States of America, I don't know how your data then causes a problem. I know how the president's data does, which is why I don't understand why he's using it. If it's such a grave threat to national security, I can understand why they would say we're not going to have TikTok being used in the Pentagon. I understand why they'd say we're not going to have TikTok being used in the Department of Defense or at any location where there's sensitive info. I get all that. And I get if you're an employee of government, you have to agree to certain things. And if one of those things is you can't use TikTok, well, then you can't use TikTok. But if a 17-year-old kid's using TikTok and the CCP is harvesting that data, they're probably getting the data from whether they're on Google or Facebook or Twitter or any other of these assorted social entities. So from that aspect of it, I don't see the difference in that. But again, if the president's using TikTok to send messages to people, how dangerous can it really be to national security is another question that I ask. Now, assuming that it is, and that the people around him just don't care, or they just love China so much, or they want to make TikTok look good because who knows, maybe Hunter Biden got money from them too. That's always a possibility. But I could understand this notion of saying, because China, the Chinese Communist Party has the ability to get access to data, no one who works in the federal government in any sensitive locations, or which is really everything. I mean, at one point I would have said, well, who cares if you work at the National Institutes of Health? But clearly, obviously, we don't want China getting that data either. So I could realize, I think, a full-on government ban of any government employee using TikTok who works for the federal government is fine. And if you don't want that as terms of your employment contract, well, you know what? You're free to get another job. You don't have to do that. There's certain things I have to agree to work at this company, like pretend I recycle. And just kidding. Sorry. Pretend like I give a damn about the environment. I mean, I'm just kidding. Love you, Mother Earth. You hottie, you?
Are you drinking from a glass right now that's just like Earth Day on it or something?
Yeah, it's right. It's Earth Day. And it honors the guy who founded Earth Day, who like what killed his girlfriend and
composted her, right?
Yeah, but it was a compost, right? Yeah. Well, that was a nice thing to do. You return to the earth. You know?
You recycled.
It was recycling. So there you go. There's certain things we all have to agree to at our jobs. And if one of those things is, for example, I can't say certain words on the air because I'll get fired in violation of the FCC because they're the seven dirty words. That's the deal. If I don't want to do that, I can go start a podcast somewhere and curse my brains out. Or I can go to satellite radio and pull a Howard Stern and just drop the F-bomb every 2 seconds. Everybody has to make a determination in life. If the federal government really believes that the TikTok poses a threat to the national security of the United States of America, then I don't understand how anybody who works for the federal government can use it, whether you're a lowly congressional aide or you are, in fact, a high ranking general or you're the commander in chief. I don't understand that. But I also don't know how some 17-year-old high school kid in Nebraska is really going to be harming our national security by making a video with his idiot friends at a football game. You know what I mean? That's a stretch to me in that sense, which is where I come down to this idea of banning the app for just everyday people to use doesn't sound like it makes any sense, given the fact that China has the ability to get data from so many other areas. And also, whenever you ban something, there's always going to be a black market for it. There's always going to be an underground way to get it. Now, if you use it in violation of your employment agreement with the federal government, well, I can fire you for that. You violated your agreement, unless you're some, you know, government protected hack and some, which is there's a lot of them, obviously, and that might be a little bit different. But then again, if you are somebody who is in that group, you're not a high level ranking person. You know what I mean? You're just not. So you're probably not the worry anyway. But if it's the rule and you don't do it, you get disciplined. And if you do it again, you can get fired, even if you're protected by one of the various federal government unions. So that to me sounds like the easiest remedy here. And to keep putting pressure on China to be transparent about all this. But understand, as a consumer, China can access your data. And you have to make a determination if you're okay with that. I'm not. Maybe you are, because TikTok does not deny that China can, the parent company ByteDance, can in fact access the private data of its American users. Cut five.
Also, my colleague, Representative Latta, confirmed that your parent company, ByteDance, currently can access user data. Yes?
We have to be more specific.
Yes.
After you Project Texas? No.
I'm not asking after Project Texas. I'm asking now. Yes.
Some user data is public data, Congresswoman, which means everybody can search.
Some user data. Of course they can get it. Of course they can. You'd have to be an idiot to think the Chinese Communist Party is not getting access to the data. Of course, you have to be an idiot to think that. China owns everything. Everything. There's no free companies there that has the ability to turn around to China and say no. Now, Oracle's getting involved to deal with the user data in America to make sure that there's firewalls and the algorithms will be changed so that it won't be able to. It says here, according to the CEO's testimony, Oracle has already begun inspecting TikTok's source code and will have unprecedented access to the related algorithms and data models. Okay? That doesn't make me feel any better, which is why I'm not going to use TikTok. Also, I don't need one more freaking app I got to worry about. So I'm not worried about this. For me personally, I'm not. But as parents, you again have to make a determination about what apps your kids are using. I wouldn't want my kids using TikTok. I also don't know if I really can stop them because, unfortunately, kids are pretty smart about hiding these things from parents. I'm lucky. My kids are young. We have not gotten a cell phone age yet, thank God. And I want to wait a very long time in that. But I've talked to friends whose kids have phones and have things. And, you know, kids will disable an app when they go home for dinner and then reinstall it the very next day. So there's all kinds of workarounds, which is also a realistic problem here. And there's a lot of dangerous stuff on TikTok. And the question, of course, is, does TikTok get blamed for that, or do idiot kids or bad parents get blamed for that? Which is always a question. Because if it's not the TikTok challenge, I remember years ago there was the Tide Pod challenge. I think this was before TikTok. And we talked about it on the show because Senator Chuck Schumer wanted to ban Tide Pods. You know, the little pods that go in your dishwasher or go in a washing machine. Schumer wanted to ban them because idiot kids were eating them and dying. But I said, that's you don't ban a product because of that. Parents need to deal with that stuff. And if they have little kids in the house, then take appropriate steps to protect your children from them. Don't leave them out where a little kid can get one. Or if your idiot son is a teenager and thinks this is funny, you got bigger problems than just Tide Pods. I mean, that's just the truth. You do. You've got bigger problems than Tide Pods. But, you know, the Democrats' answer is always to come out and ban something. That's what they always want to do. You know, regulate it, ban it, tax it to death in one way, shape, or form, something else. But the CEO was asked by Representative Buddy Carter of Georgia about how many children have died because of dangerous challenges on TikTok. Cut four.
Understanding that they're looking at the eyes. How do you determine what age they are then?
We rely on age gating as our key age assurance.
Age
gating, which is when you ask the user what age they are. We have also developed some tools where we look at their public profile to go through the videos that they post to see whether...
Well, that's creepy. Tell me more about that.
It's public. So if you post a video, you choose that video to go public, that's how you get people to see your video. We look at those to see if it matches up the age that you talked about. Now, this is a real challenge for our industry because privacy versus age assurance is a really big problem.
Look, you keep talking about the industry. We're talking about TikTok here. We're talking about children dying. Do you know how many children have died because of this? Do you have any idea? Can you tell me?
Congressman, again, it's heartbreaking.
Can you tell me how many children in America have died because of challenges like this?
The majority of people who use our platform use it for positive experiences.
That's not what I ask you. Tell me the number of children, of U.S. children who have died because of these challenges.
Congressman, again, the majority of people who come on our platform get a good experience.
I'm not talking about the majority of children. I want to know a number.
Dangerous challenges are not allowed on our platform. If we find them, we will remove them. We take this very seriously.
Obviously, you found one today and you removed it. We had to bring it to your attention, and I know I'm out of time. Thank you for being here. Welcome again to the most bipartisan committee in Congress.
TikTok CEO also does acknowledge that the Chinese engineers do have access to global data. Well, Duh, they do. They also set up spy balloons, and they have satellites, and they have all kinds of other sophisticated means by which to spy on Americans. We've seen that, obviously, too. So I'm not surprised by that. So again, the question is, you know, some 17-year-old kid in Nebraska, what data can he send back to the CCP that the CCP could not get on its own? Now, I understand somebody works in the federal government, or even a state government for that matter. That I get. I do. I don't know how the high school kid using it, though, is really a threat when we just saw a Chinese spy balloon fly over our country for 5 days and the Biden administration did nothing about it. So I you know what I mean? So I don't know what else they can get from a high school kid using TikTok that they couldn't already get. But that was not made clear to me today in this. But again, as a consumer, you have to make a choice, because that's what being an adult is all about when it comes to you and your children. And understand that Chinese engineers do have access to global data. Cut 7.
Today, do ByteDance employees in Beijing have access to American data?
Congressman, we have been very open about this. We have relied on global interoperability.
You have access to American data.
Congressman, I'm answering your question. If you give me just a bit of time. We rely on global interoperability, and we have employees in China. So, yes, the Chinese engineers do have access to global data.
You have access to global data.
Of course they do. Of course they do. Don't think for a second they don't. Come on, please. You'd have to be an idiot. I'm not going to use the word idiot, but you know what I mean. Understand that and get it and accept it and then make a determination. Because, look, the reality is, if we all just stopped using it as adults, it wouldn't change the fact that the kids are using it. If you banned it in the app store, the kids are going to get it someplace else. The real question is, evaluate the threat to American national security and then maybe take away the phone from senile old men in the Oval Office, who clearly, if there is a threat to national security, that guy is probably target number one, I would think. And yet here he is in the Oval Office making TikTok videos, which makes absolutely no sense to anybody. 855-839-1210 is the number if you'd like to weigh in on this. What do you think? Should there be a ban on TikTok? And how would that ban actually work? How would it work? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, we got a lot to talk about. Tomorrow is our Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. I'm excited to be with you all day for this from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. So if you miss me in mornings, I'm back for one whole day. And I'm looking forward to it. Not looking forward to getting up, but I am looking forward to being back in Morning Drive for one day only. It's like when somebody plays one performance only, but I'm looking forward to being back with Dawn and Greg. And of course, hanging out with my buddy, Nick Kale and Dom and all kinds of great special guests will be stopping by tomorrow. Jack Carr is going to call into the show at some point. Tulsi Gabbard may be calling in the show at some point. So we're going to have lots of surprises for you. Your chance to get some Zeoli Army shirts, some signature edition Zeoli Army shirts, and also, too, a chance to have dinner with me and go to D.C. with me, among other things, too. Golf with Dom, golf with Nick, a lot of fun things. So definitely hang out with us tomorrow all day starting at 6 a.m. for our Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon coming right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Yes, you know, as a parent, you have a lot of questions to ask yourself, of course. And there was another hearing today on Capitol Hill dealing with parental rights as well. We'll cover that for you, too. We're going into energy and Biden's energy, and we're going to cover something that is a story out of New Jersey that is infuriating when it comes to school boards. But feel free to weigh in if you want to weigh in on Twitter as well, on Twitter at Rich Zioli. You can do that, too. Let me know. It's just a question again of it's easy to come out and say ban something. You have to really ask yourself if it's practical or if it's something that can actually work. And that's always a question whenever you're dealing with bans. That's why I'm not a fan of them. They tend to not work in life. We see that all the time, and there has to be probably another solution. I put my faith in government having a inability to ever solve a problem. I don't think government solves a damn thing. I think government makes things worse. And the unintended consequences of everything in life, if you ban a product, something else maybe takes its place, or maybe that product becomes even something people want even more. Again, I understand you ban it for government employees. I get that. I don't disagree with that point. I think that makes sense. That's not a big deal. But banning an app outright is difficult. Now, you can have the private sector. There's probably private sector solutions that we're not thinking of here. But that's what I would say is probably your best step. And again, the best way to do that is to just have your parents start using TikTok, and then it's no longer cool for the kids, and then they'll find something else. Or maybe something else will come along and TikTok will just not be popular anymore. I don't know. But nobody has really articulated how a ban would work outside of government. You know, I mean, the guy in the DOD, the guy in the Pentagon who's got access to information. Yes. No, there's no question that that person should not be using this app. You don't want to have anybody having data turned over to the Chinese Communist Party. No question about that. Outside of that, though, I think it's easy to come out and say the app should be banned, but that's just nobody has actually said how that works. And that's why I turn around and I think whenever you hear these things in life, it's very easy to go and grab the pitchforks and go, yes, 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 ban, 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 ban. Then you turn around and you go, all right, well, how do we do it? And that's the problem here. That's the problem with this issue of TikTok. It's the problem with banning flavored vaping cigarettes. It's all of it, I think. 855-839-1210, if you'd like to weigh in on all of this stuff. I just can tell you as a consumer, I don't use it. They don't seem to care that I don't use it. I do think that if you are Elon Musk right now, this is a great opportunity for you, though, to try to get in the game of all this. But again, I don't know how hip kids think Twitter is. A 17-year-old kid thinks Twitter is at this point. I have no idea. I'm out of that mix of that. But one thing I do know when I was 17 is that if they told me I couldn't do something, I wanted to do it 1,000 times more. If I thought something was banned, I wanted it. I think it's just a mentality young people have. I still kind of have that mentality. It's just the rebel in me. But really, I mean, among younger people, if the government bans an app, they probably want to use it even more. So again, I would advise caution in that too, because you may even wind up making it more popular. And the one thing about young people and social media, or young people and apps and phones, is that they have this amazing ability to turn around and do things behind their parents' back. The nature of all this stuff. And I've heard people say, well, we should go after Instagram for young girls and their self-esteem. I don't know how that works either. I've heard people say we should go after Facebook for this and that. And it's very easy to say those things. It's not practical, though, in many applications. So you figure out what is, and then you go from there. But if the Commander-in-Chief of the United States Armed Forces is on TikTok, the same time that the Pentagon spokesman is going out there and saying what a threat it is, it kind of undermines that, does it not? Which is, again, why I don't understand why. I mean, I get it. Joe Biden wants to reach young people. But if you are the president and this thing is a national security threat, you have a responsibility to then not use it, to not bring it anywhere near the White House, to not bring it anywhere near where they could have access to sensitive information or sensitive data. I think that's just common sense, too. But there just doesn't seem to be a lot of that going around, no doubt about it. I also think that maybe, just maybe, there are other things with China that we should be more concerned about than just this app. I'll give you an example. Here we are. It's March of 2023. We still don't know the origins of COVID-19. I have to think that China enjoys the fact that everybody's talking about TikTok today and not COVID and not the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I still am waiting for Fauci to get grilled. I mean, to me, that's a big priority. That's a really big priority. So fine, turn around and say no federal government employee can use TikTok. Boom, and enough. And then go on to encourage the private sector to create something better, but stay the hell out of their way and hope for the best. And then why don't you do what is, I think, something that is a proven threat to all of us, the virus, and then get Fauci and his gain-of-function buddies in front of the Oversight Committee and have them answer questions. When is that going to happen? And Biden is a fraud because, you know, Biden signed that bill to declassify all the COVID information. And then he turns around and goes, yeah, but you know what? There's certain things I got to keep for national security purposes. I may have to keep classified. That's a scam. You know, that's a scam to hide behind so that he doesn't have to tell everybody what he doesn't want to tell them, which is gain of function research created the virus. And then the gain of function research gravy train would be threatened and they don't want to lose the gain of function gravy train. That's it. So please bring out the hearings on this sooner rather than later. And, you know, it's not just TikTok. The French are actually warning against WhatsApp and Instagram as well. France's top lawmakers are refusing to side with the United States and single out China's TikTok. Top members of France's National Assembly strongly encourage their fellow MPs to limit the use of social media apps and messaging services. And it doesn't include TikTok. But it does say some American platforms such as Snap and WhatsApp and Instagram, and also an app called Telegram, were founded by Russian-born brothers, and also this app called Signal. They say, given the particular risks to what the exercise of their mandate exposes, members of parliament using these applications, we wish to appeal to your extreme vigilance and recommend that you limit their use, they said, from the conservative Les Republicans Party. France's narrative of putting Chinese and American companies in the same basket is in stark contrast to moves by other European countries, including the Dutch, which have decided to target apps from countries that wage an offensive cyber program against the Netherlands, such as China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. But they're saying by refusing to pick sides and follow the United States, This is kind of China doing France doing its thing that it often does. But they, you know, they're saying, well, your apps are also problematic. And I think at this point, everybody should enter the internet at your own risk, knowing that whatever you do, even if you're using the privacy settings on your browser or using an incognito mode or something, somebody, whether it's your internet service provider or somebody else, is getting that data. You have a phone, you're being tracked. You're being tracked all the time by apps, by cell phone towers, all the time. Remember that. Keep that in mind. And keep in mind that, yes, there are things like VPNs you can use. There are things like the Tor browser and others that you can use that give you a certain modicum of security. But nothing's foolproof. Nothing really is. And there's just a tough time being off the grid. But the real issue with TikTok is that it exposes the fact that the Chinese Communist Party is absolutely in the business of getting our data. But isn't it something, though, that it seems like the bad guys will always find a way, whether it's a spy balloon or something else? And if it's not this, it might be something else after that. The private sector can probably have some good solutions here for all of us, I would imagine, going forward. There is a school board member in New Jersey, who is being called transphobic and is being investigated for transphobic posts. What does that mean? What does that mean? And is this just another assault on freedom of speech? You bet it is, because they're not towing the party line on what they're supposed to say. And as a school board member, you would think members of a board of education would be able to have an absolute standard when it comes to freedom of speech, but that's not the case. And I'm going to share this story with you because it's very chilling. And this comes at a time when Republicans are pushing back against the Democrats' efforts to control the narrative in schools and control what your kids learn and your kids read. And they want transparency about it. And parents are speaking out. And Republicans are doing the right thing to hold this out as an imperative in the upcoming elections. An imperative, no doubt about it. But I'll share that story with you in a few moments. 855-839-1210. Listen, I have a happy place. I hope you do too. My happy place is the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I love making lifetime memories there with my family and my friends and my loved ones. And now is the time to book your getaway at the beautiful oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book a spring break getaway now. And it's never too early to book a June and July midweek stay as well. But speaking of being a parent and speaking of having kids, spring break is right around the corner. So do something memorable with the kids and also something that will keep them off the devices and off the screens all day. Take them to the Grand Hotel. They have a big, huge heated indoor pool, an arcade for the kids, old school games, old school arcade games. Plus, there's so much to do in Cape May, too. Walks on the beach, great restaurants, great shops. Hemingway's restaurant, which is right on site at the Grand Hotel. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And here's the best part. You do the kids' spring break package, which starts Sunday, April 2nd through Saturday, April 16th. Stay two nights, save 5% off regular rates. Breakfast is included. Stay three or four nights, save 10% off regular rates, and breakfast is included. Stay five or more nights and save 15% off regular rates, and breakfast is included. And like I said, you need something to do with the kids. April is the time. Take them there. You'll have fun. There's a fitness center there. You get away, sneak away, work out, take the kids out for breakfast, lunch and dinner, walks on the beach. They have putt-putt golf. They also have a couple of arcades in Cape May, in addition to the one they have right at the Grand. There's a gift shop there. So much to do. Make your reservation today by calling 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or visit them at GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. My happy place. I'll see you there.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
A couple of people have waited on Twitter today. You always can. Brian says, Rich, a foreign enemy government spying on kids is reason enough to ban, especially with permissions needed for the app to run, potentially grooming kids. Again, my question is, how do you ban it? And I would say that parents should be very cognizant of what you just said and probably not allow their kids to use it. The problem is that as kids get older, they find workarounds around that. That's the other issue, too. Banning it from the App Store doesn't solve the problem either. You can get apps from outside of those sources. So this is an area where I think you have to just ask yourself, what is the realistic answer here? Is a government ban for the general population really going to solve this problem? Or is there some other way to deal with it? Because I think that the problem that you have right now is that nobody has really said realistically how to ban an app. It sounds great. I get it. It sounds great. But when you put these things in a practical application, that's where the problem comes in. All right, 855-839-1210 if you want to weigh in. But again, ban it for all federal employees. Ban it for every government worker in America. I think that makes perfect sense, obviously. I don't think there's even a question about that. How anybody in the federal government could be using TikTok, to me, that just sounds idiotic, if you ask me. So there is a this is a really interesting story here, and it's the kind of thing that infuriates me all the time, too. You have to realize that as parents, we are constantly battling what I think is the ultimate culture war of our time, which is the effort by the schools to indoctrinate our children. And it happens all the time. Now, in this case here, this is Hunterdon Central Regional High School. Here's what's happening now. They are launching an investigation into a Twitter account with, I'm just going to read this to you, with transphobic content reportedly owned by one of its board members. So the school board of Hunterdon Central Regional High School is launching an investigation into a Twitter account with transphobic content reportedly owned by one of its board members. The announcement comes 2 days after a member of Flemington QTs, a group that supports the local queer and trans community and youth, raised concerns about the account and its owner at a Board of Education meeting. Neither the school board nor the group raised the issue during Monday's board meeting. When they raised the issue, neither of them said who the account belongs to. They said, quote, from the Hunterdon Central Regional Board of Education, "The board recognizes the gravity of this allegation and takes seriously its obligation to investigate." The Twitter account, which has since been deleted, included tweets that misgendered United States Secretary of Health Rachel Levine, content that denounced the inclusion of transgender icons Marsha Johnson and Laverne Cox, COX, in a Women's History Month display at Hunterdon Central Regional High School. Think about those two things right there. If you call Rachel Levine, who's a biological male, the wrong pronoun, that's misgendered, and you should be investigated for that. Think of the absurd Stasi nature of this. Oh, you said the wrong thing. Now we're going to, and you're a Board of Education member. So you've been elected by the community to serve on the school board. You don't think Rachel Levine's actually a woman because Rachel Levine is a biological male, and you refuse to call Rachel Levine a woman. So for that, you're going to be investigated. You don't think that two biological men named Marsha Johnson and Laverne Cox belong at a Women's History Month display at Hunterdon Central Regional High School. So in line with what the Stasi does, you're going to be investigated. You're a Board of Education member. You've been elected to set school policy, but you have the wrong ideas about you, comrade, so we're going to investigate you. And again, I'm just reading from this NJ.com piece. The transphobic Twitter account comes at a time of increasing anti-LGBTQ plus backlash throughout the country, comma, advocates say. The past year has seen a spate of anti-transgender legislation. Like what? You know what they mean by that, right? They mean bills that say biological males can't compete in women's sports. That's what they mean by anti-transgender legislation. Or drag queens can't dance in front of three-year-olds. The passage of Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay law. Can we stop saying so-called Don't Say Gay law? So this is why I say, I keep prefacing by saying I'm reading the article. Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay law. Who's calling it that? The media is calling it that. It doesn't say Don't Say Gay in the bill. I even heard that in the CBS News report yesterday. Well, the expansion of Florida's so-called Don't Say Gay bill. Stop saying so-called. It's not called that. So-called by who? And the fear-mongering of drag shows as fronts for groomers. So those are all the things that come as an increasing time of anti-LGBTQ backlash. So let's think about this now. If you are somebody who believes that biological men should not compete against biological women in sports by being on the team, that's anti-transgender, okay? It's transphobic. If you're somebody who believes in Florida's parental rights and education bill that doesn't say don't say gay, that's transphobic. If you're somebody who has a problem with drag shows for children, which is what we've been talking about, not drag shows for adults. You want to go to a drag queen brunch or a drag queen bingo night and you're an adult, knock yourself out. I'll choose to spend my entertainment dollars a little bit differently, but you do you, I'll do me. We're talking about children. But if you believe in those things, that's transphobia. Transphobia. And we'll investigate you for that. Because you can't have those opinions and be on a school board. You can't have those opinions and set school policy. You can't have those opinions and set curriculum. And if you try to, we're going to investigate you for transphobia. Now, this Twitter account, which they have screenshots here, it was an account named Mama Mama Llama. And posted a picture of Women's History Month at this Hunterdon Central High School in New Jersey. And wrote the following. Hey, Deb, our illustrious former Blue Ribbon School, Hunterdon Central Regional High School, has two men on the Honoring Women's History display. When I complained to the superintendent, Jeff Moore, he offered to re-educate kids who were offended by it. I hate New Jersey. Now, I agree. I hate New Jersey, too. I've lived there my entire life. But I also agree with the point here that men should not be part of Women's History Month. Even if you are living your life as a woman, you're still not a woman. So you should not be included in Women's History Month. If you want to have and I don't agree with this, but if you want to have a transgender history month and you want to put up trans people, not that I think you should in a school, certainly not. But this is Women's History Month. So why can't you just honor women? Why can't you just honor women who've achieved amazing things and not men who have decided to live their lives as women? I mean, haven't we talked about forever of women getting pushed aside for men? Wasn't that a thing 5 minutes ago where all these men keep pushing women aside, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in politics? But now suddenly, if you have a problem with that, then now that's transphobia. The board and the superintendent reject the hateful ideas posted in this account as harmful to children and adults in our community and to our school's mission. These posts convey outright disdain and disrespect for our board, our school, and our staff, said the Hunterdon Central Regional School Board of Education. Therefore, we believe these posts do not reflect how a board member should communicate about the district they serve. Now, the content on Twitter, they say in the article, may run afoul of the School Ethics Act, which governs the activity of New Jersey school board members. The School Ethics Commission, while recognizing a board member's right to express a different opinion with both the board and the administration, has determined a statement on social media made by a school board member is likely to be credited far more than a statement offered by an ordinary citizen, according to the New Jersey School Boards Association. Now, you would think that according to the First Amendment, which used to mean something, if you have different views about transgender, you should be allowed to express them, especially if you are an elected official, which school board members are. But no, you'll be investigated for that. While the School Ethics Commission, Commissioner of Education, and state courts have protected the First Amendment rights of board members, those rights must be carefully balanced against the board member's duty to serve all community members. Translation, you have a First Amendment right as long as you're saying the things we want you to say. Otherwise, you don't have freedom of speech. We champion the efforts of each of our students to discover and express their unique identity. The board is grateful for the work of our students and administration to support students toward feeling a sense of belonging in our school and believes that this work must progress, the school board said Wednesday. Social media has gotten school board members in New Jersey in trouble. In 2016, an Elmwood Park school board member resigned after posting disparaging remarks about Muslims on Facebook. Now, these anti-Muslim Facebook posts have nothing to do with this person expressing a disagreement with biological men being included in Women's History Month. Nothing. It's a false equivalency. The person in that case was saying some pretty hateful things about Muslims, but In this case, these people are not saying hateful things about transgender people. They're disagreeing from a policy perspective about putting biological men in with women, which is a problem that I have as well. In 2017, a member of the Mount Ephraim Board of Education resigned following a series of homophobic, racist, and sexually graphic remarks made online. Does that sound like the same thing to you? No. And in 2020, a Monroe Township School Board member resigned after a Facebook post was blasted as racist by some in the Gloucester County School District. Does that sound like the same thing to you? No. But you see the game, right? The game is, it's the same thing. If you have a policy problem with the transgender in schools, like if you have a problem with biological men competing against biological women, well, you might as well post a racist post. It's the same thing. If you have a problem with biological men being part of Women's History Month, well, it's the same thing as if you said something racist. If you have a problem with kids going to drag shows, well, you might as well post something racist. It's the same thing. This is the game that's played to silence people into compliance, to silence them into omission and suppress their ideas until everybody just complies. Everybody complies because they're afraid of being investigated and afraid of being sued and afraid of being canceled. So they just shut up. And then the left wins. There have been serious allegations made against one of our board members. I ask that any information on this issue be provided to the Board of Education. We'll be consulting our board attorney to determine the next steps. LGBTQ plus inclusion was actually a point of controversy in this district just this past winter, when a drag show organized by students became a spark for criticism. You remember this story, right? I talked about this when it happened. The drag show was an invitation-only event put on by the high school People Understanding Love Serves Everyone Club, meant to provide a safe space for students to be themselves. However, the event was accused of being exclusionary and a waste of instructional time. Imagine that. But school officials staunchly defended the drag show, which they say was held in full compliance with student codes of conduct and existing requirements for on-campus events. So remember, if you have a problem with kids doing drag shows with adults in a school district, that's transphobia now. You see how quickly they start with the isms and the phobia to shut you up, to silence you, so that you can no longer have a policy conversation. You can't even have a policy debate. It's their way or you get investigated. It's their way or you get sued. It's their way or you're a hateful bigot. Got it? Even if you're a school board member, set there to set policy on things like what our kids are reading, what our kids are learning, and yes, what activities are going on in the school, including Women's History Month. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Nonstop talk, straight ahead.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.